From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, WTO negotiators say if things don't change soon, the world talks will fail under the weight of bilateral trade agreements. And a survey of U.S. economists suggests the Federal Reserve will trim its monthly purchase of mortgage bonds and treasury bills next year. By the way, that's a good sign for the economy. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. From the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The soft red winter wheat down 4¾ cents for the July harvest month. That settled at $6.92. The corn futures finished at $4.77¼. That finished 14¼ lower. And December contract at $4.63½, down 4¾. March contract at $4.76½, down 4½ of the May corn. $4.84¾, the settlement price there, down 4¾. July contract, $4.91¼, down 4¼. And December futures of next year, $5.50 a bushel, down 3¼ cents. September soybeans, $14.04¼, 32¾ lower. November futures at $13.56½, down 11¼. And January soybeans at $13.55¾ in Chicago, 9½ cents lower. The March at $13.38¼, down 4¾. And next year's November, that's the 2014 harvest contract at $11.82¾, down 2¾ for the day. Bean meal futures at $4.65.80, $16.30 lower. Bean oil futures at $42.81, 55 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the October at $125.35 per 100 pounds, down 32½ cents. Feeder cattle in the October at $1.58¼, up 2½ cents. In December, lean hogs on the day at $87.62½, up 62½ cents. The February contract there at $88.70, that finished 45 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It is a broadcast service of the College of the Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. October crude oil at $109.24 a barrel, $1.29 lower. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.79¾. That's 6 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $1.88, down 0½ cent for the day. And the difference between the two is 91¾ cents. The spread between those is now 5¼ cents narrower than it was yesterday, but that's as wide as we've seen on the spread for over a year. Natural gas at $3.61¾, up 8¾, and the diesel fuel at $3.11¾, down 4¼ cents. Gold futures up $20, or rather 20 cents, at $1,386.40, and the U.S. dollar trading 81.79. That's down 0.36 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 93 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 11 to 13, gusting to all the way to 16. And then tonight, mostly clear and 67 degrees, a south-southwest wind at 9 miles an hour. Tuesday, sunny and hot, a high of 96, partly cloudy on Tuesday evening with a low of 69 degrees. Wednesday, sunny and 93. Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 68. And on Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 85 degrees. Thursday night, clear and 56. Friday, sunny and 74. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of 50. Saturday, sunny and 73 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear and 51. And on Sunday, sunny skies and 77 degrees. So we'll start the week out hot, but we'll make our way to more seasonable temperatures as we get into the weekend. And it should be a magnificent time looking towards harvest. Be safe out there if you're starting to get ready and rolling those combines, maybe cleaning out a few bins. You're listening to Will Ag. That's WILLAG.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check now on this ninth day of September, the futures markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about this marketplace. Producers are probably looking at the numbers saying, hey, wait a second, it's hot. Why is this thing still going down? We have USDA report due out this week. What happened in the marketplace?
Exactly. It's wow on a Monday for a change. We've been basically up every Monday in the bean market since the 1st of August, and this is the first Monday in a while that we've seen the market close lower in the beans. Corn and wheat, a little bit of a different story there, but it kind of caught the bull off guard here and eroded the confidence in the bull. But the prospects of a little moisture around and ideas that the trade's already built in, a little bit of a smaller bean number going into Thursday's report kind of limited the buying interest. We're not seeing Asia come forward as aggressively as they have in the past. And ideas that maybe, you know, we've priced in a crop here where we're actually going to have to get in some actual harvest activity to determine whether or not this market, bean market, continues the uptrend and takes out the 1409 level or not, Todd.
I made note of some rain showers over the weekend, yesterday at least, in the St. Louis area, crossing through Missouri and parts of western Illinois. Did you hear anything about how much rainfall and who got most of it and who missed some of it?
Well, in the Central Belt, there was a little spotty quarter half inches throughout spots in Central Illinois. I know here locally I dumped out a half inch, but you go a mile or two either way, maybe a tenth. When you look at the bigger picture, the moisture looks to remain in the north and to the east, and also when you watch the national news, it's well advertised heavy rains out in Arizona, so it continues to be the ring of fire, for say. I believe, though, that as we go into tonight's trade, that unless there's a change in the weather maps, that the recent lows are going to hold here, and we'll have to put some a little bit of weather premium back into the marketplace until we see some type of shift in the pattern. Even though it's getting kind of late for bean development, a lot of guys talking about beans are starting to turn in through here, so moisture in the next week is going to be real critical if they're going to try to fill out those pods.
But the September contract in the corn pit broke 14 and a quarter cents. I suppose part of that was just on harvest that's beginning maybe a bit more in earnest across the Midwest.
Exactly. We're seeing these cash bids start to fold, for say. There were strong bids until this weekend. Then after this weekend here, we've seen the cash bids retreat fairly aggressively. There was cases of a 20-cent drop in corn bids, as much as 40-cent drop in some bean bids in some areas. It's going to be sporadic. There's going to be some little pickup, pent-up demand here, but we're seeing end users getting what they need here short-term and going to put their hands in the pocket here and try to buy cheaper. Of course, the producer wants higher prices, the end user wants lower prices, so it's going to be a tug-of-war back and forth here, but definitely if harvest picking up, this warmer weather speeding up maturity, there's a little bit more confidence in the end user. There's going to be more grain to buy here fairly quickly.
What are the expectations for this afternoon's crop production, or crop progress report, rather?
Additional deterioration. Beans are expected to drop about 3% out of that good excellent category, down to about 51%, which is still relatively high. Corn is expected to drop to about 2% down in this 54% good to excellent. But you're not going to turn that around no matter if we do get some rain or cooler temperatures. This time of year, seasonally, these conditions drop as the crop reaches maturity and starts to turn brown.
Mm-hmm. Hey, on corn, I'm wondering, I suspect if I'm a producer, I'm probably going to quick ship whatever I can get early and take the premium on it and sell it across the scale. Then I'm going to try to fill the bins, depending on what I have available. And I want to know whether I need to price that out, and then certainly what's left, at least at this point, that would have to go to town. Does it need to be priced out going into town, or are you just going to store it?
Well, it depends on, it's a good question. There's a lot of moving parts there, and everybody's
sure.
A little bit different.
Yeah, I know.
But
let's take it one by one, or at least a little bit. So the quick ships,
yeah.
You're just going to send it to town and sell it? Is that right?
Yes. If you can get that early premium there, I feel you need to take advantage of that. There's no question about that. I think that's the best strategy you can do right now if you can get through it.
Okay, and then I think that really the next important part is I have a bin. Should I fill it?
Traditionally, it's going to happen. I feel if you're wanting to hedge and capture some of the carry, I'd be just like an elevator and fill that bin and capture some carry.
All right, and then finally, if I take it to town and I need to store it and pay storage on it, is that worthwhile too?
If you can get within 10 cents, minus 10 cents on basis, I'd just move it, then replace ownership on paper. If you're looking at a 25, 30 cent wide basis, I'd look at storing it and hedging it on the board and capture some carry here. We believe once we get through halfway through harvest, now basis is going to weaken for a couple weeks here, but once we get halfway through harvest, we feel basis will firm back up into mid-December, and that would be our time window, mid-December, to clean up some cash sales.
See how much easier it is when I only ask one question at a time instead of three at once.
Well, you're talking to Rural Route 3 here, so.
Oh, anything else that we need to cover yet this afternoon? What else is on the plate? Anything?
Well, outside markets were kind of dynamic. We saw a lot of action there. There's talk of Russia brokering a deal with Syria just to turn over their chemical weapons so we don't get to shoot our missiles and create some real chaos. So we're it'd be interesting to see what the government does here if they go along with that. Right. So crude oil sold off hard here, down $1.40, so that in return gave confidence back to the stock market, up over 160 points here. So there's a lot of movement in outside markets, just like this grain market.
Hey, a couple things on the outside markets. I hadn't read, actually, because I've been on the road so much the last couple of weeks, the ethanol spread numbers. But, man, that's something else. So what are we at? On the spread, we're at 90 cents. That one's pretty wide. And then ethanol itself is cheap. $1.71? $1.88? It seems pretty cheaply priced.
Yeah, it's given opportunity to put a little bit more ethanol in the blend. When you look at all the ethanol in general, though, the numbers on ethanol, what we're looking at, is probably still a little high. So hopefully they'll come in and pick up some ethanol and get this demand back up into this 4.9, 4.8 area versus the 4.6, 4.7.
Kurt, it's always fun to talk. Thank you.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Hey, check out our website at willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, including a link to our Ag Outlook panel schedule. That's over on the right-hand side of the page tonight. Dave Dickey and company, that include Bill Gentry and Bill Mayer and Jackie Vakes, will be right here in Champaign County at 7 o'clock at the Farm Bureau building. Be sure to visit with them. It's free, open to everybody, so come and stop by for one of the Willag panels tonight. Dave and the two Bills, along with Jackie Vakes, will be there this evening. You can find out all the details on our Ag Outlook panels on the website at willag.org. Speaking of Dave, he's here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the new leader of the World Trade Organization says that negotiators must inject new life in the global trade talks within weeks or risk seeing the world slide down the road to protectionism and regional deals. Members of the WTO, which sets the rules of global commerce, launched their Doha Round negotiations at a summit in 2001. The aim is to craft a global accord on opening markets and removing trade barriers, such as subsidies, excessive taxes, and red tape. But the failure to break the Doha logjam has led many countries to shift focus to bilateral and regional deals, which by definition leave other WTO members out in the cold. The EU and U.S. are exploring a free trade deal, as is the U.S. with 12 Pacific countries. The Food and Drug Administration says that arsenic levels in more than 1,300 samples of rice it tested were not high enough to pose immediate or short-term adverse health effects. But the agency said it would continue to investigate whether lifetime consumption of rice may pose chronic health risks. Consumer groups and pediatricians have called for the FDA to set arsenic standards in rice. The USA Rice Federation said it was pleased by the test results, but the sampling by the FDA of rice and rice products found considerable variation in the levels of inorganic arsenic, the type believed to pose the greatest health risk. Among rice grains, instant rice was at the low end of the arsenic range, while brown rice, widely perceived as among the healthiest of rice types, was at the high end. Economists surveyed by the National Association of Business Economies say that there's an 80% likelihood that a pickup in growth will prompt the Federal Reserve to trim its monthly $85 billion purchases of mortgage bonds and treasury bills next year. Business forecasters maintained the rosy view of the U.S. economy in 2014, predicting 3% growth by the second quarter of next year, low inflation, and improving employment. The economists predicted that real gross domestic product would grow at a 2.3% annualized rate in the third quarter through September, down from 2.5% seen earlier, and 2.6% in the fourth quarter of this year, down from 2.8% seen earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and he'll host this evening's Will Ag Outlook panel at the Champaign County Farm Bureau. That's right here in Champaign on 801 North Country Fair Drive. It starts at 7 p.m. this evening. His panelists will include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson, along with Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. It's open to all and sponsored by the Champaign County Corn and Soybean Marketing Club. That's a Will Ag panel right here in Champaign County this evening. We hope to see you there at 7 o'clock. Hey, speaking of the Ag Outlook panels, you can find all that information on our website. The panels are listed in the Outlook meetings calendar. That's a link over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. You can find all the details of each and every meeting, including which analyst will be with us, when, where, and why we're going. Also there, you'll find our Will Ag Notes section. This morning, I updated it with the weekly outlook that Daryl Good penned for the day. In it, he takes a look at the projected WASDE figures from August. They'll be updated Thursday, by the way, of this week. And the grain stocks report, which is due out on the 30th day of September. Darrell's calculations, by the way, show corn used for ethanol production over the last year could be 25 million more than expected by USDA, at least at this point. Exports up 15 million, feed and residual a bit higher. And that would put the grain stocks report 50 to 80 million bushels lower than expected. That would be the number of bushels on hand on September the 1st. In the outlook, Good takes up this week's report in conjunction with the end-of-the-year grain stocks filing. Again, it's due the 30th day of September from USDA. He writes in the weekly outlook, consumption of corn during the final quarter of the 2012-13 marketing year may have exceeded the USDA projection in the August WASDE report. If so, stocks of old crop corn on September 1 may have been smaller than currently projected. You, of course, can read all of Daryl Good's thoughts on the Farm Doc Daily website, but you can link to it right there from willag.org. Good, however, does caution readers the estimate of corn inventories revealed in USDA September grain stocks report, that's not always close to the calculated value.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's check the cash grain market for a Monday afternoon. Amy Sage is on the phone line from the Andersons, right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I've seen some reports of farmers moving in the fields. They're very early, I know, probably for quick shifts, but I haven't seen anything locally. Do you have anybody hauling in today?
We have not. You're exactly right, though, in my opinion. We've obviously seen some quick ship premiums that have been changing by the minute, it feels like. So, you know, for some folks that have stuff that's a little bit drier, you know, and can justify that, it's paying to do so. But in this area, we haven't seen Kernel One yet. So.
Yeah, some of those quick ships are really for a lot of money, too.
Yes.
I heard a really big number while I was in Iowa, I have to tell you. It was not being, it was paid by an ethanol plant, but holy smokes. Lots of potential out there. I suppose producers should look and keep an eye out. Do you have quick ships available there from the Andersons?
We do, actually. By the end of this week, we're paying 45 over the December compared to our all-fall bid at 10 under, and then we're 15 over for the last half of September. So there's definitely a graduation there as we go week by week here, getting closer to harvest.
Full charge for drying on that? Are you?
We are, yes. We have not offered any drying specials at this point. Not saying that that won't happen, but up till this point, we have not had the reason to reduce drying.
Your view of the next week, this week actually, the rest of the week, and what cash trade might do? And I know we have USDA report Thursday, so everything's up in the air.
Everything is up in the air, but as far as cash market goes, it is going to be very fickle. We're seeing people bidding high numbers, getting coverage, realizing they don't, raising them back up, and then dropping them out of bed. So I definitely would just keep an eye on your week-by-week bids and be checking your corn, and if you have anything out there that might be getting close to ready, keep an eye on that and be potentially locking some of those numbers in, as I do think they'll continue to drop if we start to see grain getting harvested in this area.
Yeah, so really it's just all about keeping track of basis and what the moisture in your corn is and whether you can go quickly at this point, because the quick ship bids will be there, but they'll disappear fast.
That's right.
All right, and your expectations on basis, whether it will strengthen or not as we move over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, particularly if you're in the midst of gut slot with everybody else coming, I don't see the strength holding. I think that we probably will back off as we start to see more corn this fall.
And bids for the day.
Bids for the day, 508 by Friday, 478 for the last half of September. All fall is 453, January 463, fall 2014, 470. Cash soybeans for the first half of September, 1456, last half, 1344. All fall, 1344. January bid is 1351, and fall 14 is 1153.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Amy Sage with the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us on the closing market report. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
On this day in agricultural history in 1754, William Bligh was born. He became captain of the English ship Bounty, and while sailing to Tahiti to bring back breadfruit trees, the most famous mutiny in history took place. In 1843, a patent was issued for a new hand-cranked ice cream freezer. Nancy Johnson's design added a vertical shaft with curved paddles, reaching nearly to the inside walls. The design quickened the freezing process. In 1890, Harland Sanders was born near Henryville, Indiana. He was, of course, better known as Colonel Sanders, founder of the Kentucky Fried Chicken fast food restaurant chain. In 1917, Edward Johnson died, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He once served as vice president of Thomas Edison's Edison Electric Light Company, but he may be best known for creating the first electric lights on a Christmas tree. And in 1995, Orville Redenbacher died. Born on a farm in Brazil, Indiana, he began growing his own popping corn at age 12, and after earning a Bachelor of Sciences degree in agriculture from Purdue University, he developed the popcorn hybrid that made him famous. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
That is a Monday afternoon. Don't forget to visit with Dave Dickey and Company tonight at the Champaign County Farm Bureau for one of our Will Ag panels. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the weather forecast is Josh Starr. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I am really hot, but looking forward to the cool weather that's coming up in the near term. What can you tell me about it?
Yeah, today and tomorrow we got to beat the heat again here, and just looking across the Midwest on the hour, hottest reading here is in Illinois is 99 in Sterling, 100 again in Des Moines, 102 on the Nebraska-Iowa border. These are readings that are setting monthly records here for the month of September. Just another phenomenally impressive heat surge that's come out of the Rockies and has enveloped the Midwest with the dryness in place across the areas, as we know, with the crops going backwards and across a good section of Iowa and Illinois. So two more days of the heat. Wednesday you start to break it, and then Thursday through Sunday, Monday will feel like autumn, and actually temperatures in the northern and eastern belt go to below normal levels. We're talking highs in the 60s, lows in the 40s. In the western belt, you'll take highs down into the 70s. And that's about a 3 or 4 day cool break before heat returns again next week. Luckily for us, this time of year, the normal temperatures are dropping off at such a rapid rate that, you know, 100 here on the 9th of September, okay, but the 100 on the 20th of September, that would just be, if today's phenomenally impressive, I don't even know what adjective you would use for the September 20th. So the good news is that these heat, it's just incredible heat, should be coming, waning as we move through September, just due to the fact the sun angle's declining on us.
Well, good news is no freezer frost in the forecast.
Yeah, I guess we could say that, that's for sure. And Lord knows the crop's accelerating for better or worse here at this point with the heat at hand.
When we change from the really hot weather to more seasonable weather, does it come along with any rainfall?
Rain showers look really hard to buy here on Wednesday and Thursday as the front flips across the belt. The best rainfall prospects are going to be across Nebraska and the Central Plains, and then some showers into Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Coverage in Illinois and Iowa, where we really need the rain here to at least stop the backwards motion of the crops, looks very low coverage of amounts over 3 tenths of an inch. It's hard to put even like 5-10% on it. So thereafter, the next rainfall opportunity across the Midwest starts late in the weekend, early next week, when rain showers fire up on the top side of another ridge. So there you have chances in the northern half of the belt, northern half of Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, to get rain showers in the middle of next week, and that will be the next rain opportunity.
As we close out our time together, maybe you can take me through the Chinese weather as that corn crop is coming to its harvest season, too.
It is, and in much better shape than how we're seeing our crop here. In a normal time of year, we're talking about frost or freeze. There's no frost or freeze risk in China. And for that matter, the European and Russian crop, as it comes to maturation, no signs of any frost or freeze. While it's the heat's on here, it's on to a lesser degree across other parts of the globe.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that wraps up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.